Gerhard Richter is reluctant about being interviewed. He wouldn't be after his retrospective opened at MoMA in New York City, and he's not even showing up in San Francisco. But he has written a lot about his work. Pulitzer Prize and MacArthur Award-winning poet Richard Howard is a Richter devotee. He's never met the man, never interviewed him. He took Richter's written words and incorporated them into a poem.
The Apotropaist. And then there's a quote from Richter himself where he says, "Vielleicht ist das alles sporadisch." Perhaps all of this is sporadic, scattered. On Corfu, a digest of touristic scenery after the Meister's own heart, as well as his omnivorous art, I discovered a temple.
Omnivorous art, because the 70-year-old painter is so prolific, because he works with so many subjects and styles, because with his often vague and contradictory statements, he seems to eat his own words, and because of his method of painting, where he blurs or rubs or obliterates for clarity. Looking at a Richter painting of a candlestick, a roll of toilet paper, a Nazi soldier, a mountain, or a woman descending a staircase is like looking through someone else's prescription glasses. The image is just a bit out of focus. Robert Storr curated the Richter retrospective. He notes that Richter's work isn't as well known in the U.S. as that of Anselm Kiefer, George Baselitz, and other German artists of his generation. But that's not a reflection of the quality.
The big whoop-de-doo has both to do with the quality of the work, but also the sense of finally getting a handle on somebody who's been a bit of a phantom, all things said.
Even in one of his self-portraits, Richter turns away from the viewer's gaze, a pose he uses with other subjects as well.
He is a phantom in a number of different ways. I remember one time when we were talking in Germany last year before the show went on, and I was asking him about the contradictory nature of some of his statements and the fact that he has, in fact, worked in many different styles. So in a given situation, he may paint relatively, but only relatively, accurate photorealist paintings. And in another situation, he'll paint broad gestural abstractions, and in yet another situation, paint gray monochromes. And I said something to him about these contradictory statements and the fact that one kind of work seems to contradict another kind of work if you think along strict stylistic categories. And he used the word camouflage. And I think there is a degree to which he is, in fact, camouflaged by his work. All of it emanates from him. All of it represents a true dimension of his understanding of the world, and for that matter, a true dimension of the world. But you can't find him absolutely in any one of them.
It's possible that's a reaction to his early work. Richter began his painting career in East Germany as a social realist. When he moved to West Germany in 1961, his painting changed. He cites an array of influences. There's Duchamp and Andy Warhol, as seen through a woozy, even as Storr calls it, trippy perspective.
He once said that he thought that Warhol was unquestionably a great artist, but he was probably not a great painter. Richter is both. And one of the things that Warhol does with silkscreen techniques and so on and so forth is to leach out just about any sort of reassuring quality of the image, is to suppress touch to the degree possible and to give you this kind of brittle figment of somebody, but not anything that has a pulse, if you will. What Richter does is rather different. Warhol uses photomechanical techniques. Richter does not use photographs, but the way they're painted is all by hand. There are brush marks. There are very carefully managed surfaces. When he paints a toilet paper roll, he puts this pop object, which in Warhol would have come out as a sort of a silhouette object with, you know, harsh graphics, he puts it in this wonderfully suffused light.
The two paintings of toilet paper, neither much more than 2 feet square, show a roll simply hanging on the wall, as it does in all art lovers' homes. Like all of Richter's paintings, the image began as a photograph, but unlike, say, Warhol's or Duchamp's, stripping bare to the visual essence even, Richter adds. Independent curator and writer Klaus Curtis.
Richter uses the photograph as a beginning and then further erases it or pushes it to the point of disappearance. Does that make sense?
Curtis wrote an essay as part of a book of poems, including Richard Howard's, that accompanies several of Richter's abstract paintings. With the abstracts, Richter paints, removes, and then finally squeegees the whole surface, revealing layers below. He uses a different technique with his representational work.
When the last layer of paint was on and still wet, he'd take a dry brush and just brush evenly over the surface, so you'd get this blurring effect. It looked more like a rippling reflection in water than it did a photograph. So starting there, the image would play on the surface more and more elusively, and sometimes would be nearly completely erased.
Richard Howard concludes his poem.
This uncertain life of warding off, of refusing. This life that is not the picture, but the depicting.
Those last words are Richter's, and to Howard, key to the work.
The subject is there, but it's no longer in the picture. The subject is painting the picture.
For Studio 360, I'm Karen Michel.
The Gerhard Richter retrospective will open on October 12th at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. But right now, you can see some of those images on the web at studio360.org.